La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 12 of TritonCast, the official podcast for UC San Diego Athletics.
In today's Triton Spotlight, we chat with UC San Diego performance mind and coach success coordinator, Corey Falcon. She has long ties with the Tritons, previously coaching the women's and men's swim teams. She shared with us about how both of her roles stem from her passion of helping others and why she made the switch from head coach to mental coach. Corey also chatted with us about how she was able to continue helping scholar athletes remotely during the pandemic. Our conversation with Corey Falcon comes your way shortly in this week's Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. You may have seen some hints on the UCSD Triton social media that the court inside RE/MAC Arena is getting a new look. Well, today you can check it out on UCSDTritons.com. And while you're on the website, be sure to check out our latest fun fact about UC San Diego in the Triton Tuesday series.
Coming up later in today's podcast, we'll chat with Revell College Dean of Student Affairs, Sherry Mallory. That's coming up in our Campus Spotlight. But first, it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with performance mind and coach success coordinator, Corey Falcon, which was recorded a little bit earlier this summer.
So, Corey, let's start off with your own student athlete experience, because you had quite a swim career when you were at USC. Did you always plan on swimming at the collegiate level?
Yeah, I mean, swimming was really everything for me. And from probably age 15, it was making the Olympic team was the goal. I qualified for Olympic when I was 16 and competed there. And actually, after the preliminaries, was seated third going into the finals. And they take the top two in my event. So I was really right there, you know, with the chance of qualifying for the Olympics when I was 16. And that was really kind of my focus. I didn't make it. I ended up fifth. But knowing that 4 years later, when I was 20 and in college, that would be my chance to make the Olympic team. So wanted to go to the college that would provide me the very best opportunity to qualify. And that happened to be USC. The coach there was the head coach for the U.S. Olympic team at the time, Mark Schubert. He had been, the best coach for my event as well, the 400 IM, and the very best girl in the country and really potentially world swam there as well. So it was a really easy decision for me to go to USC, swim with the best coach, the best swimmer in my event. And I also got a full scholarship, which helped. Coming from Seattle, I wanted the palm trees and the open, you know, outdoor swimming and sunshine and all of that.
I mean, you had a lot of success of your own too. I mean, not only were you coached by the best and swimming with the best, but you were also a runner up at the NCAA championships. You were named the team's most valuable swimmer. What were some of the highlights for you during your USC career?
Yeah, I mean, you've definitely touched on them right there. I would say, you know, being a member of the national team was very exciting. Traveling to both Beijing as well as Spain as part of the World University Games was really special. And then swimming for the Trojans and getting to wear that, you know, that cap and being a part of a team that, you know, it was really close to a national title. Didn't quite get it while I was there. They were national champions the year before me, third at best when I was there. But to be runner up in the 400 IM, you know, was an incredible experience. But I also think about times where I was part of a national championship relay, setting records, and all of that was certainly a tremendous experience. And I didn't realize it at the time, but being a student athlete at USC was pretty special as well. A lot of perks there, and a lot of really interesting people that I got to work with as well.
You touched on that you swam at the World University Games. What was that experience like for you swimming internationally?
I mean, it was wonderful to have this team of athletes from kind of around the country that you got to meet and go on training camps at the Olympic Training Center. And and then being able to go to places like Spain, where I had never had any opportunities like that before. Well, I had I was on the national junior team at one point, but to be able to just travel like that and see these totally different cultures and facilities and just learning so much was so interesting. And then in Beijing, we got to climb the Great Wall of China and, just experiencing the food and the athlete village situation was so special, you know, having everybody kind of all the different sports and the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies, all that stuff was really special. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity.
While you were having your successful swimming career, did you think in the back of your head that you wanted to be a coach someday, or how did that come about for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think like my whole life, I've always wanted to help people. That's the one consistent thing, is that I've always wanted to help people and lead as well. And I think, you know, being a team captain, both my junior and senior years, got that kind of glimpse into leadership. And I remember meeting with my coach saying, you know, I think I want to coach. And he had the biggest smile on his face. And he gave me some tips about what I should do next. So I just feel it is kind of who I am to want to lead and to support. And in one way it was like the actual technicalities of swimming, but there's other ways now that I feel like I'm also kind of having those same kind of helping qualities and leading and mentoring qualities, even if it's not like with the technicalities of the sport.
And how did you make that jump then from your own swimming career to coaching swimming?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So I have to remember for a second, it feels like so long ago, but I did coach at USC for a season. Kind of part of my scholarship, it paid for like the fifth year, but I needed to kind of work for that scholarship. So that meant we had me coaching. And so that was a huge opportunity to be a part of the USC coaching staff for a year. And then I decided I wanted to travel. And so I got a working visa and I went to Australia and I found a coaching job over there and coached a small club team at a place called Byron Bay, which was an amazing experience. Ended up actually meeting my husband at the swimming pool, and he's British. So without giving you my whole story, but ended up going to England for a while and also coaching over there. And then eventually coming back to the States and wanting to continue coaching, and actually contacted Scott McGuyan, who was the head coach here kind of prior to myself. And kind of just wrote him a letter and said, "Hey, you know, I want to move to San Diego. I want to coach, you know, college swimming. And, do you have a job for me?" And long story short, I ended up, starting out with him kind of part-time. And then when he ended up retiring from coaching, I ended up getting that job as head coach.
You mentioned that you wanted to be in San Diego. What was that draw for you?
Well, I love the ocean and I love surfing. I love the lifestyle that this area brings. I think what I love about San Diego is it's not a small town feel, but it's not like a huge city like LA. So I'd lived in LA and that just felt big and overwhelming. San Diego has kind of a smaller town feel than that. Especially where I live in Solana Beach, it really has that kind of like small town feel where you get to know people. But you also have the beautiful beaches and the nice climate that you can do things. But then you've got Mexico around the corner. You know, you could go snowboarding, you can go up to the mountains. So there's just so much to do here.
So once you came to UC San Diego, how was that transition for you? Because you've just gotten done coaching internationally. Was that difficult for you or was it an easy adjustment?
actually, now when I'm remembering it, my first gig when I got to San Diego, I was actually at San Diego Mesa Junior College. So I had one season coaching junior college before I started at UCSD. And so I would say that was a big transition that I remember. So going from international to here wasn't, I think I was like, it was pretty different over there. Like just not to the level that I was used to. Right. So I started kind of with like USC where it was like top of the top of the top, like athletes, coaches, facilities, everything. Right. And then I was, you know, abroad and it was, way less. Right. And like some of the techniques they were teaching, I was like, no, right. We need to switch this up. But then going to the junior college, it was such a different athlete that I wasn't used to. You know, they didn't have the same kind of drive and I had to like really convince them to get in the water. And then when I came to UCSD, I remember that first day, like Scott said, get in the water and every single athlete jumped in the water right away. And I was like, ooh, this is where I want to be. Like I love the type of student athlete, scholar athlete that UCSD draws in. I've always respected their drive and their inner drive and their commitment and their, just determination. So it's nice. Cause I feel like I also can help them kind of round those sharp edges at times because they can be, you know, really intense and hard on themselves. And so I feel like I have a good purpose here, but it is, yeah, it was kind of a different type of athlete that I was drawn towards.
We're chatting with Corey Falcon here on this episode of Tritoncast. So Corey, you had a 10-year coaching career here at UC San Diego with the swimming team. I mean, during that time, over 100 All-American performances. What stands out to you when you look back on your coaching career here?
A couple things come to mind. I think about my first athlete, Alex Henley, to win a national title. And I can't remember all the details, but I want to say she won maybe two titles in the same meet. Maybe it was three, but it was definitely, you know, of four races, I think we were something like first, second, third or something like that, that it was, that felt really, really rewarding because that was really my first athlete to win that title. And then I think a few years later, I think about Nick Korth and setting the NCAA record and also winning a national title. And after kind of like always a very successful career, but you know, the year before maybe just missed because of this other guy or, you know, this or that kind of thing. So when it all came together, you know, setting the record, winning the national title, was such an amazing highlight. I think I was also maybe pregnant or something. So, remember him like giving me a big hug and I'm like, don't squeeze too tight. I do have a baby in there. But then also when our women's team got third and, you know, we were so close to even getting second or first. And those moments really stand out in my mind.
So at the conference level, I mean, the team really dominated the PCSC. Can you talk a little bit about that conference and the success that the Tritons had?
Yeah. You know, we always focused on having a lot of fun at conference. And I think that was a real key to our success was if we can really come together as a team. You know, swimming is a very individual sport. But when you know your team is behind you, it is everything. So we really focused on, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the person in finals or if it's, you know, one of the slower people on the team. Like we are all going to get behind every single person. Like it matters to win the meet or not, you know, like really, really important. So, I think that was a big key to our success. And, you know, it was also nice in a sense that we had a team that a lot of people had already qualified for the nationals going into conference. So sometimes that takes a little bit of that pressure off that people can just perform and not feel like they have to go this particular time. And oftentimes they would even go faster just with kind of that pressure off.
you mentioned that the team was always getting behind each other. How important is it to have a healthy team culture like that?
It's everything. I mean, it's everything. I mean, I've seen programs that have, you know, one of the best in the country, in the world, you know, on their team and not be successful, you know, and because the culture isn't right and people aren't supporting each other and trusting each other and respecting each other. And so I really think that culture is everything in establishing, you know, the work ethic, the collective work ethic, the, you know, mutual respect, the open communication, the honesty. So yeah, it's a really important piece to get right.
So in 2017, you wrapped up your coaching career and switched to your current role of the performance mind and success coordinator with UC San Diego Athletics. Why did you decide to transition to that role?
I was always most passionate about the mindset that was involved in performance. Knowing that an athlete can have all the tools, they can be physically ready, they can have spent, you know, hours in the gym and getting their body as conditioned as possible, watching every bit of film. But if they didn't get what it right between the ears, like, it didn't matter. And it was always so surprising to me that we just didn't spend a lot of time on it. I didn't spend a ton of time. I mean, I would spend time on it with my athletes because I really understood it, but still that time was very small compared to everything else. So I was always so interested in that and I had experienced it myself. I also have had a long history of a yoga practice. When I was so injured that I couldn't, you know, run or take another stroke with swimming, I ended up starting yoga. And back in the early 2000s, and I realized that the mindset of like that present moment focus when you get when you practice yoga was something that I realized I didn't have when I was competing as a swimmer, to be able to kind of calm and come into myself. So I knew these pieces were always so important, and I really did it with my team a lot. Like, we did yoga, we talked about confidence, you know, we did a lot of those things, and I just felt like that was always really my true calling. I actually also trained as a life coach. So I had this yoga certification. I had this life coaching certification. And it has always just been my, as I said, my passion to kind of, to help people. And I kind of mentioned to Katie McGann as I was kind of leaving, you know, hey, I've got some ideas and maybe there's something that I could still do here, even if I'm not coaching swimming. And she was really supportive of my ideas and letting me try things. And then when Matt Kritz started and we started having conversations about some different opportunities, and he really supported me in making these, you know, opportunities come and ideas like come to fruition.
So why do you think it is so important for a student athlete to have the right mindset when they're competing?
Well, ultimately, like, their performance depends on it, you know? So there's so many balls in the air, right? As a student athlete, they're worried about, you know, their performance, how they do, what their coach thinks, what their teammate thinks, not letting anybody down. They're worried about school. Are they doing well enough? Are they going to get, you know, into the internship or the grad school program that they want? You know, there's the social balls in the air. Are they liked? Do people, you know, do they have enough friends? Did they get invited or whatever? There's so many different things. They might have a job as well, just to kind of make ends meet. So they've got so much on their plate. And then when it comes to competition, if they're still like juggling all that, they're not going to be able to get anywhere near like a state of flow for optimal performance. It's going to be really tough. And so, you know, part of helping them is understanding how to, you know, be doing the thing when they're doing that thing and be able to let go when it's time to let go. And, so there is a lot on their plates, and, so helping them, you know, acknowledge that and work with that.
So how is it that you go about working with them and improving their mindfulness?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll give you an example. We're doing a mind gym program right now, open to all the student athletes, and actually partnering with Claire Pointer from Athletic Training. And we start off with a little bit of a yoga routine just to kind of get that mind-body connection going. I find with the athletes, sometimes we can access that present moment through the body because that's what they're used to. And so if we get into a little bit of a yoga, and then we can follow up with a meditation to help them learn that practice of being still, being present, coming back to the moment, using the breath as an anchor. And then from that point, getting them to self-reflect on different, you know, topics and how those various topics might be showing up in their life. For example, last week, the question was kind of, when am I present and when am I not? And so just to be able to reflect on that, you know, through the week, you know, I'm really present when I'm really involved with something and I'm really like slightly challenged, and that makes me feel like really, you know, present in that moment. Or, oh, my mind is like thinking about all these different things, and maybe that's because I'm bored, or maybe it's because something's too hard. And so just getting them to kind of have that deeper awareness that they can then bring to the court or the pool or the, you know, wherever field, when they notice, oh my gosh, my brain is all over the place. The key is just to notice, okay, I'm all over the place. That's all right. Let's come back to the present. Let's take a breath. Let's feel the feet. Let's be where our feet are. Let's be right here, right now. Let's live in this moment. So that's a lot of kind of the training that we do.
Do you find that the mental needs differ between the teams, or is it pretty similar for all the scholar athletes?
I think it definitely differs for sure. I think, you know, some sports, the mental piece is so critical, you know, like tennis and golf, and you know, baseball and softball and some of those types of sports, it's so critical. Some of the sports, kind of the team aspect becomes so critical, and kind of that level of trust and communication amongst team members is everything to kind of get that synchronicity. Oh yeah. And then some athletes is kind of like the pain, you know, it's kind of like, how do they work mentally around like the physical sensation of pain? You know, I think about like the swimmers, the rowers, you know, cross country, like how are they working with that strong pain, like mentally?
Yeah. You mentioned pain. How critical is it to have the right mindset when recovering from an injury?
Again, so critical. You know, I think confidence is a huge piece in that, you know, am I going to be okay? Am I going to get back to where I was? Am I going to hurt myself again? And getting the athletes to like trust their body again and trust their abilities. It's a really critical piece again, that often gets overlooked, and we're working on a way to integrate some of that kind of confidence coaching back in to our athletes, you know, as part of their kind of return to sport, that they've got their body physically ready, but like, can we get them mentally trusting they're ready to go as well?
We're chatting with Corey Falcon here on this episode of TritonCast. So Corey, we've talked about the experiences that you've had with the scholar athletes, but you also do a lot of work with the coaches. So how does that differ from what you do with the scholar athletes?
With the coaches, I'd say it's not as much kind of the mindset in the moment. Although there is part of that, because as a coach, you're performing as a coach as well. But it is getting the coaches to, you know, create opportunities to just kind of self-reflect, you know, using that predictive index as a tool to go, okay, you know, where are my superpowers, you know, as a coach, and where could I be using them a little bit more? You know, where are my areas for development that I might need to put a little bit of attention to? So just kind of getting those opportunities to reflect, because we all need to do that all the time. You know, we can all self-reflect and yeah, just pay attention to where we need to focus. So we do that. And then also as a staff, it's nice to create opportunities to understand each other better. So how can we utilize each other to the max? How can we understand each other? So if you know, someone is a person that needs a little bit more time to think and process, you know, and someone else is asking them for that answer right then, right there, that might not be the most effective way that they communicate. So helping them to just at least understand that, you know, maybe creates like a little bit of a softness around, or just creates a dialogue that they can, use to understand each other a little bit better when, you know, the stress is high. Cause I think when the stress is high, that's when we see like the little challenges bubbling up. And so if we can understand and maybe be empathetic about other people, then we can, you know, work together better.
Do you feel like your experience as a head coach at UC San Diego has helped you be able to communicate and understand the needs of the coaches and staff at UC San Diego more?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say one of the biggest, like, there's so many challenges. I hate using that, even though hopefully I can frame that in a positive, but there are a lot of challenges as a head coach and, you know, being responsible for 18 to 22 year olds, plus of course the recruits, which, you know, go down to 17, 16, you know, plus you've got, you know, your parents and you've got your alumni and, you know, there's just on and on and on of so many people that are sort of needing things from you and you're kind of the central person to all these different components. And it can be pretty tough, you know? And so I can really understand the challenges, the unique challenges of our coaches, any college coach really. So I can really have that deeper kind of compassion and empathy for the different challenges that our coaches face. And hopefully I can provide them some skills and tools to help alleviate some of those challenges that come up.
So during COVID-19, obviously things went remote very quickly. How have you still been able to help the scholar athletes and coaches during this time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, in some ways it's like, okay, sports stop. So do I have a role? But what I found is that, you know, my role became even more important, you know, with the scholar athletes. Now more than ever, they needed to learn, you know, to really understand the concepts of, you know, controlling the controllables, you know, being in the moment. You know, there's so much uncertainty and so much just day-to-day challenge with motivation, you know, staying on top of your workouts and the social isolation. And so I was able to really come in and help reinforce some of these concepts of resilience, really, ultimately, of being resilient during this time and helping them to see that, like, this is the same as the grind of the season, right? Like, this is the same as when it feels like you don't know when it's going to get that much better, or, you know, it's like, it's hard and it's a struggle every day and you're not getting to do all the things you want. So there's some parallels. I mean, obviously very different, but to be able to use some of those tools to help them, you know, be more resilient right now was really, I believe, really helpful for them. Of course, coaches had a little more time since they weren't using all their hours practicing. So it was nice for them to kind of reach out and, you know, provide this to their student athletes as well.
So during COVID, obviously there were no games going on. Do you feel like there's similarities between when a student athlete has a mindset when they're performing like in their athletic sphere versus when they're performing in the classroom?
Absolutely. 100%. You know, when it comes to performance, you know, it might be taking an exam, you know, it might be diving box, and you know, you've got the same kind of self-talk, you know, it might be, and one athlete might be really strong with kind of that inner dialogue, when it comes to, you know, a sport competition where, and then it might be that in the classroom, their inner dialogue is, you know, you're not ready or you didn't study enough or, you know, and so it's the same kind of skills as being in both, you know, in the classroom and, you know, in an interview, and anytime you're getting ready for something that like means really something important and you need to be on, those are where the skills come into play.
So this is a very exciting time for UC San Diego Athletics with the transition to Division I. Obviously, that's going to add a lot of pressure for the student athletes. So how do you suggest that they deal with this, and how do you plan to work with them with that added pressure of competing at the highest level?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to remember why they do what they do. You know, I think it's important to remember that it's a sport and they love competing. You know, they love the smell of the grass. They love the feeling of the ball leaving their hands, or the swoosh of the hoop, or the crack of the bat. You know, like, they love whatever it is they love about it. That's what they need to anchor in on. They need to let go of all the additional expectations, the additional pressures. You know, at the same time, knowing that they can fuel their excitement, you know, they can fuel that, you know, I don't want to call it pressure, but that like opportunity that they have to compete with, you know, the Cals or the UCLAs or whoever it might be, that they, you know, this next level of competition, they can fuel themselves with that excitement. So I think it's using that to perform even better, and also just keeping it simple. You're still just student athlete, you know, you're still like just a person competing, having fun, doing what you love. Don't make it more than it is.
Well, we are out of time for today. Thank you so much for joining us, Corey.
My pleasure. Thank you. And go Tritons.
Jenny, I enjoyed that conversation with Corey Falcon. You know, fascinates me how this focus on mind and being present, and for her, that really stemmed from her love and her practice of yoga.
Yeah, absolutely. That was so interesting. And I mean, part of it also stems just from her love of helping others and helping scholar athletes, which is so awesome to see. I mean, whether she was helping the swimmers or now working with all the teams as a mental coach, it's great to see her giving to others.
Right. And the mind component is such an underserved component of training that in the collegiate level, and that really can give UC San Diego scholar athletes an advantage. Well, the pandemic hasn't just impacted classes for UC San Diego students, but for student life as well. In this week's Campus Spotlight, we're joined by Ravel College Dean of Student Affairs, Sherry Mallory. She'll tell us how Student Affairs is keeping students engaged virtually despite the challenges. Jenny?
Ravel College's Dean of Student Affairs, Sherry Mallory, joins us in today's Campus Spotlight. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dean Mallory.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
So to start things off, for our listeners who maybe aren't quite as familiar with the student affairs side of things, what sort of duties do you have as Ravel's Dean of Student Affairs?
Yeah, so I am responsible for students' out-of-class experience at Ravel, for keeping them safe, for helping to uphold university standards, and the part that I hold most dear is supporting students who experience challenges during their time at UCSD. So that really starts the student affairs experience from when students are admitted, orientation, so we get a chance to bring students into our campus community, all the way through to graduation, residence life, student activities. That all falls within the umbrella of what the Dean of Student Affairs does.
Well, you've been in this position for quite a little while now. You've been with UC San Diego since 2012. What was it that initially drew you to UC San Diego?
So I'm actually an alum of the University of California system. I went to UC Santa Cruz, go Fighting Banana Slugs. And they, like UC San Diego, have a college system. It's a little bit different, but it was through my college that I really had a chance to find my people, to make friends, to get engaged. And I became very passionate about being a part of that. So it's been on my radar for quite a long while to come to UC San Diego. I really love the undergraduate college system and being a dean of an undergraduate college, because it's the best of both worlds. I get a chance to get to know Ravel students. And again, from orientation all the way to graduation, right? I get to meet them and spend time with them in orientation. I get to high five and hug and shake their hands when they cross the stage at graduation. But at the same time, you've got that. And then you have all of the resources of this large Research One university that's now Division One athletics. So it's the perfect job for me. I really enjoy meeting and working with our students and getting to know them and supporting them along the way.
Well, you have so much interaction with the students over the course of their 4 years. What are some of your favorite aspects of that?
So I advise a couple of our student organizations. I advise Revell College Council, which is our student government. So really working with them to help them support and enhance students' experience at the college. And then on the other end, I advise our grad committee. But I also like to just embrace my job and have fun with it. So I try to get to know our student athletes. I try to go to as many events as I can where we have a Revell student on the team. I try to go to org events. I like to get out every once in a while and ride with our campus police just to see what their experience is and what students' experiences interfacing with them. I have even played with the pep band. So it's a lot of fun. And I really enjoy all of that. Our traditions, watermelon drop is a big one at Revell and UC San Diego. And this goes all the way back to the beginning of UC San Diego, where there was a question on a final exam in physics about the velocity and splat of a watermelon if it was thrown off the top floor of Urey Hall. And our students decided to reenact that question. And we've done it every year since. Now, this year, we weren't quite sure what to do with the pandemic and with everybody being remote. But my staff came together, worked with our student org that coordinates watermelon drop, and we actually live streamed watermelon drop this year. I got to throw the watermelon off, which was quite exhilarating.
Wow, that's so exciting. Was that your first time doing the drop yourself?
That was my first time. Usually a student does it. We have a competition to select watermelon royalty, and we did do that again this year. It was Adrienne Roma Santa, but I got to act in her stead and throw the watermelon off of Yuri.
That's so much fun. I love it. Well, I mean, that really shows how you guys have already been adapting even during these challenging times when a lot of things are going virtual. So now that students are going to be returning with the return to learn plan in place, how do you think things will be different for you than the average year?
Yeah, so things are going to look very different on campus, right? We've got signs up all over campus. We're going to have things marked out to make sure that students and staff and faculty on campus stay 6 feet apart. Everyone will have to wear their masks pretty much all the time unless they're in their bedrooms. We're not going to have a lot of people on campus. So we'll only have about 25% of faculty and staff that are normally there. Most of our staff are going to be working remotely through the end of the year. We've been told by the county that we're not allowed to do in-person events. So we've had to get really creative to try to figure out ways to engage students, to do orientation. I'm really excited with some of the things that we've come up with, but it definitely will look different. I think the other thing is there's so much uncertainty, right? No one has a crystal ball to tell us what next week is going to look like, what next month is going to look like. So we may have to do what we've been doing all along, which is pivot and rethink things and figure out how to do them. So adaptability is going to be big. So we'll see what the quarter brings. I'm really hoping the campus has been working hard to try to be able to bring students back safely. And so I'm hoping that all of our hard work will pay off and we'll be able to get through this first quarter and we'll be in a better place to be able to bring more people back after fall.
Yeah, absolutely. With this being such a challenging time for so many people, how important do you think it is to foster a sense of community among the UC San Diego students at this time?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. I think one thing that we've all experienced during this pandemic is the isolation depression and the loneliness, not being able to do the things that we normally do, in some cases not being able to see our family or seeing way too much of our family. and for our new students coming in, really trying to help welcome them in and feel connected to our community. So there's been a group that's been hard at work trying to figure out how we can create connection through Triton Weeks of Welcome. And that spans from move-in through orientation, Welcome Week. And then as we continue through the quarter, how we can continue to do that. And then, you know, when we are in a place where athletes are able to get back to competing, how we can cheer them on and how we can help them feel the excitement of being Division I if we're not able to be there in person.
Right. Well, all of us at UC San Diego Athletics know that you're a very avid supporter of our teams and our scholar athletes. Why is it that you're so passionate about athletics?
I actually don't know when my passion for athletics developed. I'm a band geek. I did play volleyball for a couple years. I was horrible. I mostly rode the bench and cheered on. But I think it's just the excitement of being on a college campus. When I did my graduate work at the University of Arizona, while I was there, the men's basketball team won the national championship. Like back in the day, they defeated the University of Kentucky in 3 overtimes. The women's softball team won several national championships. And I think one of the fun things about being a student is you can go to games for free. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that there. And then as I've moved through my career, it's always been something that I've been a part of at the different universities I've been at. And I've been at some fun places. So from the University of Arizona, I then went to the University of Arkansas. And if you haven't done football in the SEC, you haven't done football. it's an experience. So that, and then prior to coming down to UC San Diego, I was up at Western Washington University, which is a Division II school that has a really engaged student body. One of my closest friends up there had rowed back in the day, so she used to drag me to rowing all of the time. And I got to know the women on the team. I got to know the coach, became a big fan of rowing. And then I had an opportunity my last year at Western to be the administrator that traveled with the team to nationals. And for rowing, when they do nationals, they do Division I, Division II, and Division III together. Mm-hmm. So a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. And so I got to be there as Western won their 7th consecutive national championship. Now I had to set all that down because they're huge rivals. When we were D2, they were huge rivals of UC San Diego. So right. I left all of my Western allegiance behind and transitioned it over. But yeah, I think it's just that. And getting to know scholar athletes. I mean, you know, all of our students work hard, but to think about the time that they're spending on the water, in the pool, on the court, on the track, both before and after classes, and how well we've done, I just want to support that as much as I can. And I want to get other people on the campus to support that as well.
That's so awesome. And yeah, I mean, it really ties into the work that you do as the Dean of Student Affairs for Revelle. What do you think athletics brings to the whole campus community at UC San Diego?
Yeah, so I think it brings a sense, or can bring a sense of excitement. Thinking back to this past year, how well our men's and women's basketball teams had been doing. One of the most exciting things was back in fall quarter, we did an event as part of Welcome Week that partnered a soccer game with a night market that happened over on Triton Field. And so there were, 1,000 people, a bunch of people at that soccer game, and everybody was cheering and it was really tight and we ended up winning. And so I think just that sense of camaraderie that you have. And then our scholar athletes do so much, both for our campus and our community, in terms of supporting service, bringing people together, modeling leadership. So, I think it just is a great opportunity. And there's nothing better, you know, once you're an alum, and now that we're D1, we'll be able to do this. You'll turn on ESPN, ESPN2, and you'll actually be able to see a UC San Diego game, get together with people and cheer. And so it can also bring a sense of pride.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember that soccer game that you mentioned, I was at that one, and the atmosphere is just so electric. And now that UC San Diego is Division One, we're excited to see that all the time. What sort of reactions have you seen from either Revel students or your coworkers between the time that the Division One move was announced up until now when it's official?
Definitely with our scholar athletes, I've seen a lot of excitement with students I'm working with through college council. You know, people are excited about this. I think it's going to take a little bit of a culture shift for UC San Diego because we don't necessarily think of ourselves as a sports school. So we need to get everybody there. But I don't know. I've definitely brought the excitement for everybody at Revel.
Yeah, absolutely. We love your excitement and we greatly appreciate it. And that does it for us today. We're just about out of time. So thank you so much for joining us, Dean Mallory.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and go Tritons.
So glad she finally got to drop that watermelon. That's great stuff. To keep up with all things going on in Revel College, visit revel.ucsd.edu.
Coming up on episode 13 of TritonCast, we chat with former Triton men's basketball player, John Santignan. He tells us about the impact his college basketball career had on his life after college, from playing professionally to coaching professionally to writing his own book. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to TritonCast this week. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Subscribe, rate, or review this podcast on whatever platform you so desire. You can follow us on Twitter at TritonCast, or you can email your feedback on TritonCast to Jenny and me. We can be reached at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.